right, this is this is take two because I forgot to start it the first time. But good afternoon, everybody. It's great to be here on the Deeper Podcast. My name is Austin Slater. I've got both Tim and Dan in the office with me. It's good to see you guys here again.
Good to be here.
Good to be here, Eric.
It's great to have people around. We were talking earlier about how, you know, it's kind of quiet here at Friendship right now. It's in the summer. We've got folks doing missions trips and vacations. So there's about half of us here on any given day. So it's nice to run into some friendly faces in the empty halls. And just, good to have you guys back. Good to be doing this. In case you don't know or we're not aware, dear listeners, we have started a new series. It is outdoor, which is a pretty big thing to miss in case you missed it. But it's a ton of fun. Basically, we set up a stage outside. I blast a ton of music before we get started, and then we just do our service outside. And it's great to be communing with God through nature. There's some sun. There's some wind. It's really refreshing. And we're doing a new series kind of based around food in the scriptures. That's right, Tim?
Yeah, and we started it off with breakfast at the beach. And I've liked our outdoor series the last few years. We focus on real physical things like, trees and water and now food. And food is fun, and I think this is going to be a fun series.
Yeah, it's so far been excellent. Could you give us a quick refresher on what this breakfast on the beach was? What content was in there?
Well, for those who don't remember, that was after Jesus' resurrection, and he appeared to the disciples while they were fishing on the Sea of Galilee, and he's on the shore, and he calls out to them, and they don't recognize him right away, and there's this dialogue, and then he invites them in. They catch fish. He invites them in, and they have breakfast on the beach.
Mm-hmm. It was so funny. There was one point where I almost laughed out loud because we were talking about Peter, right? And so he realizes this is Jesus. He's back. So they're out fishing. He jumps out, swims 300 feet back to shore, and then immediately has to jump back in to get the fish out after Jesus. And I'm like, man, that's relatable.
Yeah.
haven't we all at least at one point done something like we're so excited?
A little
impulsive. Just kind of fun to see that. Yeah.
While I was reading that, I was thinking he put his outer robe back on and then jumps in. We do it the other way around, right? We strip down and jump in.
Well, he was just so flustered. And again, that's just so fun to see in the a disciple get flustered. Like, mm-hmm. That's so human.
Mm-hmm. And so. He's so high energy. Peter's always doing something.
So
like, I'll jump
energy.
In and swim. I'll go back on and I'll haul the fish out, whatever.
Mm-hmm. You love to see it. And again, that's what we hope to emulate. So to kind of dive in here now, you kind of highlighted this a little bit, but so Jesus has risen, but the mm-hmm. disciples are fishing. They're not necessarily doing what they've been told to be doing,
mm-hmm.
But they kind of go back to what they know to do. They kind of mm-hmm. go back to what's safe, what's comfortable for them. And I thought, for one, well, that's relatable, because don't we always do that? But I was just wondering, you pointed out they were struggling. They were really struggling to catch these fish.
Yeah.
They were not doing well. They'd been out all night. A very relatable story for them,
yep.
It seems.
Mm-hmm. Common.
Very very common. And I notice a lot of, well, I don't notice a lot of the time, but you hear a lot of discussion about, people really struggling in what they're doing in their career, in mm-hmm. life, whatnot. And so I was just kind of wondering, how do we recognize whether we're struggling in our career just based off of life being tricky, life is hard sometimes, careers are hard sometimes, or whether that's because we're ignoring a separate call, a different calling like the disciples may have been in this case. Do you have any thoughts or ideas on that, either of you?
Not off the top of my head. I mean, I think I hit it a little bit on Sunday morning. It's a lot of ink spilled over speculations about whether they were in disobedience to be fishing or whether this was just a natural thing they were doing. Their family still needed to eat, and their specific mission wasn't very clear yet. And it doesn't really say. There's no judgment on them there.
Yeah.
But it is clear that they're struggling to catch fish. They're not doing that very well. So I don't know, Dan. Maybe you got something off the top of your head.
There's an ongoing, probably,
conversation with the Lord and others in mm-hmm. career path type of things.
Mm-hmm.
For me, when I finished college, I have a business degree, actually, which seems very fitting, you know, given I'm a pastor. But that's what I thought at the time I was going to be doing. So I got the business degree, and then afterwards was having some trouble finding work in that. Got work as a land surveyor, and that was when I was really trying to figure out what's next. And, you know, for me, it was some of that figuring out, you know, this work I'm doing now, I can't see this being my career for a long period mm-hmm. of time. But then what is it? Okay, then I'm listening to the Lord, and there's some indications toward ministry, but I had to talk to some others.
Yeah.
So there's probably a different factors for different people. I think you pointed to maybe that you keep bumping up against the wall, maybe like the disciples, like, well, this is really not working for us. That could be an indicator,
mm-hmm.
but not 100%. I mean, ministry work, for one, sometimes you're bumping your head up against the wall, and I just mm-hmm. am in a 1 Kings 19 this week, and Elijah despairs of the purposes of God because he mm-hmm. thinks, we just had this Mount Carmel thing, and mm-hmm. still people are fighting against me. Maybe this isn't working. And God says, no, it's fine. You're going to keep going. Mm-hmm. So not always, but sometimes that could be, if you're really joyless in your work, your calling, that could be something that God's using to get your attention, to point maybe a new direction.
Mm-hmm.
But I think listening to the Lord in prayer and in his word, and then talking with people you trust, who know you well, who can give insight and be honest right. with you, that can be very helpful too
mm-hmm.
For kind of discerning as you're speaking about career paths there. But there's no set formula other than, mm-hmm. yeah, we need mm-hmm. to be paying attention and seeking the Lord's wisdom in that.
Right.
And it's quite a different thing too. If I'm working in, like I was, and a career path in business or in construction, and then to say I'm going to go jump to a whole different thing, like in ministry, that might even have a different listening to it than just, you know, I'm going to change from one law firm to another. Or I bet there's mm-hmm. big changes involved in any of that. So, I don't know. That's kind of what comes to mind right away for thinking of some of that.
Kind of going back into some of our discernment stuff from the Holy Spirit series.
Sure, mm-hmm. sure. But yeah, just bumping into a wall doesn't always mean that the Lord's telling us you're going in the wrong direction. Sometimes mm-hmm. that resistance comes even from the other side, right? Yeah. From the enemy. So
you look at all the walls the Apostle Paul bumped into. You'd mm-hmm. think he was probably on the wrong track, but
right.
he wasn't. And he, you know, so you're right. I mean, there's a lot of difficulties in ministry that doesn't mean anything about being in the wrong place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's a big question, though, right?
Oh, I mean, it's a little huge
tangential
question. I mean,
to
there's
this text.
Books and books and books written about that exact
right.
thing, right? So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, so that was something that crossed my mind while we were talking about it. I really appreciated, Tim, when you were talking, we looked at the four different things Jesus said to the disciples mm-hmm. At this breakfast. And, you know, the first being like, hey, what are you doing? Like, not necessarily in a judgmental way, but like genuinely showing that curiosity. And coming as a friend, the second being like, hey, try something different, coming as a counselor. The third being the one that I found the most interesting, but just like, looking at saying, hey, bring what you have to the table.
Yeah.
And we've already kind of talked about a lot of that in the last few, deeper episodes, but I just thought again, just how powerful for him to be, know, taking our skills and gifts and using them and quite literally in this case, bringing them to the table. But the second half of that third one was what I kind of wanted to talk about. The second half of the third one, in case you're not already confused with numbers. But the last statement you said in the section was really powerful to me because you were talking about how Jesus never comes and demeans us or belittles us. But that those voices tend to come from a different spirit. And that really made me think a lot of the voices we're hearing all over the place, whether that's sometimes in the church, very often in social media, in a lot of our circles where we have this constant culture of demeaning and insulting and critiquing people we disagree with. It's a big trend online to own such and such a person and just kind of highlight, man, they're really stupid. They're insert whatever pejorative you would like to do here. And so this is very clearly not in the spirit of Christ, but this is also something that we really tend to fall into as a culture, is this this spirit of demeaning and insulting and belittling. And so I've got two questions with that. Just first, if we've fallen into this habit, How would you suggest we work to try and break that? And then how would we come alongside friends of ours who might have, or family who have fallen into this habit of being demeaning and belittling, unlike Jesus? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think you identified the problem, and it is a big problem today. I think there's a lot of folks living with real depression, anxiety, because the voices that they are hearing are very critical. They're self-critical. And I think that that voice of Jesus, too, that word of Jesus struck me, too, among the four the most this week, mm-hmm. that he really wants what we bring. Like, he empowers us. He honors us. It's like that scene in The Chosen when he has Sabbath with Mary Magdalene, and she's like, oh, you pray. And he's like, no, this is your house. I would be honored or delighted if you would. And I think he comes to us that way. He's like, I would delight to hear what you have to say, mm. what you bring to the table. Mm-hmm. And I think the first thing I would say is just we need to really reinforce our understanding of who our Lord is that way, that that's who he is, and that's the voice to be listening for. Mm-hmm. And that when we do hear these other, and we all have voices in our heads, right, that are telling us things different times. Oh, that was stupid. That was, you know, that's not the Lord's voice. That's not his way of speaking to us. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really important way to start. Mm-hmm. Do we really recognize the voice of the Lord? It's the voice of the gracious Savior who's our creator and who delights in us and wants what we bring to the table, as small as it may feel to us at the time.
Yeah, and it's really interesting because that also ties in so strongly with the fourth point, which was Jesus wanting to commune with us, wanting to be in this dining. The way I wrote it down was like this dining room table relationship rather than a lecture hall relationship. Mm-hmm. No, he doesn't just come to stand up there and tell you, hey, you do this, you know, listen to this, I'll draw on the whiteboard exactly the formula you should do. It's a relationship, it's a dialogue. And I thought, man, that is so, as we try to emulate that, it's so much easier to bring people into this dining room relationship if we're not being belittled and we're not known for our owning these people or look at how smart Austin is when he took down that argument. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is amazing when you think about who Jesus is. He's always the most brilliant person in the room. He already knows all these things, and yet he wants to hear it from us.
Yeah.
You know, he wants to know, what do we think? And I the best analogy I have is with my grandkids, or maybe when my kids were really little, you know, they don't have much to offer in terms of content, but you want to hear what they have to say. Mm-hmm. And I think our Lord must be like that. Like, yeah. He says, I want to know what Dan's thinking today. Mm-hmm. I want to see Austin's reaction to this. Mm-hmm. You know, he delights in that.
He does. And that was all throughout these things. You know, he was asking questions. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was fascinating how every time he did, he's like, hey, how's it going? Have you tried doing this? Like, can you do, like, he's not necessarily saying, do this as I, you know, it's, hey, I want to be, it's that inquisitive relationship there. Mm-hmm. I just thought that was a really, really cool. I don't know if I've ever seen it anywhere as clearly as in that passage before.
Yeah.
But the listening God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You brought it out really well, I think, Austin, too, that in our culture right now, we are almost conditioned to look for what we don't value in someone else. Hmm. Here's where I disagree. Here's where I think you're wrong. Here's instead of being conditioned to see what do I value about this person? What do I need to learn from them? What can they offer to this project maybe we're working on or to the community we're a part of? And that is maybe the mindset, you know, I need to think about. And you're getting at it where it's being more inquisitive or curious rather than judgmental, because typically we're always judging everything by our own standards.
Right.
And so that's a really good, because that's the Lord, right? He's, like you said in the sermon yesterday, Tim, he just told them where all the fish was. He didn't need their fish. You know, he's can have his own meal. He can just, you know, obviously he's multiplied food. And yet, hey, bring some of those fish that you caught. He even gets them credit for it.
Yeah.
You know, like, and I think you're exactly right, the parent-child. I think I shared this, Tim, with you. We just went through Father's Day here, and I have a daughter, you know, 8-year-old. And she was so proud, she made me a little card. But in the card was $10 of her own money. And as a parent, you're kind of like, part of you is like, wow. It's really all mine. but she was so thrilled to be able to give me that. And part of me as a parent is like, do I give that back to her? It's like, well, she all, I'm also delighted that she wanted to, yeah, to give this, right? Yeah. And I think, yeah, the so Lord sweet. Has everything, right? And
right.
He doesn't need anything from us. He doesn't need the fish we catch or right. anything like that.
But and he rejoices does,
yeah,
in that.
He delights. Yeah. That's what Tim was just saying. Yeah. He delights in seeing us displaying that love for him right. and mm-hmm. and just loving what we have
yeah.
to bring to the table, even if it's that, you know, 5-year-old sketch that we put up on the fridge, even though we don't even know what it is. Mm-hmm. It's just a beautiful
that's
thing.
Right.
So,
that's right.
Yeah, it's really good. And important for us mm-hmm. to think about the way we are looking at the people around us, how we're responding.
How we're interacting
yes.
with them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I had one of my mentors in college was a guy named Paul Patton, one of the most intelligent, compassionate men I've ever interacted with. And he has this saying where he's like, you always need to try and be generous with authentic praise, mm-hmm. not generous with flattery, mm-hmm. not generous with hollow praise, not, you know, but like be generous with your authentic praise. Mm. If you see something that someone's doing well that you respect, man, you got to say that. And that's and with that comes the being intentional with listening and asking mm-hmm. questions. And that is such a way to bring people to the table, whether they're people that are at a different table or they're at the far end of the table. You want to bring them closer.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. I've just always admired that perspective as we try and yeah. look at, like, how do we bring people to the table of Christ?
Yeah. You know, I just think if we were collecting a sort of tips for making friends, that would be one of them, right? Genuine mm-hmm. praise of people, looking for what's positive in people. And like I said, interested people are interesting. Like mm-hmm. take an interest in others. That spawned some conversation yesterday with our family. There's somebody who started a ministry in the UK, apparently, of just how to make friends.
Mm. Hmm.
And my daughter, who's a physician, said, you'd be surprised how many patients I see who, when she say, well, who can you talk to about this? They'll say, I don't have anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have anybody
yeah.
to talk to about this.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people who don't have friends. And I just think, wow, this is a ministry, you know, we mm. need to expand on maybe. So how do you go about that?
Mm-hmm.
How do you just
right.
build a friendship? You can't control that. It's an invitation kind of a thing. It's an art. But
yeah,
I just see Jesus doing it here. And I just think
mm-hmm.
something that maybe we can.
And the meals.
Yeah.
A big part of that. It
yes,
is.
Exactly.
The food aspect. Yeah.
Well, and I thought it was so interesting how you were highlighting that this meal, this, you know, you were kind of comparing it to the sacraments and like mm-hmm. a lot of this doesn't necessarily happen in church.
Right.
This just happens in the world, mm-hmm. in your daily life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also really great to remember for us as, you know, as we're trying to build our testimony and build the testimony of the church mm-hmm. and, you know, work on establishing Jesus's testimony as one to follow. But like, man, it's just, I don't know. That's been something that I've been thinking
yeah.
about lately is how like this is not just something for Sunday mornings.
Right.
And, you know, it kind of breaks down what we were talking about it last time, I think, where, you know, there's this likelihood and this tendency for us to kind of put up on a mask and pretend like mm-hmm. we're all good on Sunday morning and it's all great. And, you know, it's like we can tend to do that. But if we're really living in this where we're having these meals even outside of church, that really breaks down the need almost mm-hmm. to put up these masks.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And I love that about food, right? Like food does that. It sort of breaks some of that down. I mean, you got spaghetti sauce coming down your chin and you're chewing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, okay, we're all human here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, somebody a question right when they're taking a bite. You know,
yeah, right.
We've all been there. Yeah. It's very just, like you said, it brings down pretensions. It just mm-hmm. puts us at a very basic level. And yet there's a comfort that comes with it, too.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Your closing point in the sermon, or at least the closing point that really stuck with me, was really kind of profound because we've kind of talked about this all throughout deeper. But again, every time I see it, I love bringing it out and pointing it out because I love it. But you were saying that we don't really need to love or believe perfectly to still see Jesus working.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and how the disciples were even in this situation, they were doubting. They didn't want to ask who he was just in case he wasn't who he said
mm-hmm.
he was. And I'm like, wow, isn't that relatable? Isn't that, you know, and isn't that encouraging that, like,
yeah.
we can be not loving perfectly. We can be doubting
mm-hmm.
a lot. And Jesus still sees us. He invites us to the table. He invites
mm-hmm.
us to partake. And I just thought that is such a profoundly encouraging and uplifting perspective to hold.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to thank you for that and ask if you've got any, you know, thoughts or ways you want to bounce off of that point specifically.
It just, I guess it struck me again this week because, Dan, you preached on it a couple weeks ago on Matthew, right? And then that this has come out several times for some reason
mm-hmm.
in the last few months, that doubt is, we wouldn't expect it, but this is part of the, shows the authenticity of the gospel record. Like, you know, that was there. And it is encouraging because it's like, okay, this is true of the early apostles who saw the resurrected Jesus, and certainly could be true of me and us. So it is encouraging somehow, because that's where we are most of the time. We're a mixture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If Jesus didn't reveal himself to people who had some inconsistencies, he wouldn't have been revealed to anybody. Yeah. Right. So, yeah, but it is true. And it comes through very clearly. You said it well, I thought, yesterday, that, yeah, Jesus reveals himself to people who are still on the way, right? They're still figuring it out. And so much of this text is, you said that at the very beginning, about Jesus, how he reveals himself to us, the risen Christ. You know, yeah, he's in heaven now. He's ascended. How do we encounter Christ? And, you know, in his word, in the sacrament, but in so many powerful ways through the Spirit, of course. And that comes to us, even in the midst of our struggles and sometimes off days, we would call them.
One thing I didn't bring out very much, but it struck me later, was the role of the church in helping us through our doubts. Because it's the disciples speak to each other. It is the Lord. It is the Lord. It's like, I need to hear you say that. You know, hey, you see what just happened here? This is the Lord's hand. Oh, yeah, it is. You know, and we encourage each other in the faith that way as we bear witness. Because one will see it before the other, right? And a different time, the other will see it before that one. And so that's the importance, too, of gathering together. Like, we need each other's faith.
Yeah.
To see the Lord.
No, that's really good. Because, yeah, you, on our own, speaking in the loneliness that was just mentioned, we just don't see things always as clearly, right? We need someone else to say, hey, you know, this did just happen. Isn't that the Lord there? Oh, I guess you're right. I hadn't thought of that. This was all I was seeing right now.
Well, and man, that was... So when... So for those of you who are listening who might not know this, my wife and I went through a bit of an immigration fiasco where... The short, not fully accurate, but the short version of it was she got kicked out of the country for a while. And when she got kicked out, we had some really good friends of ours come up and say, hey, listen, you're not going to ask us to do this, but so we're going to do it for you. But we're going to set up a GoFundMe to help you afford lawyers and get plane trips so that you don't have to right now, while you're going through this crisis, have to worry about money. And that was one of those things that, you know, like, we looked at each other and Danica and I looked at each other and we're like, this is Jesus working through these people. This is the Spirit working through those people. Because that's something that, you know, wouldn't necessarily be our human inclination to just reach out and help or even recognize that as the Spirit. But then, you know, we looked at each other like, this is Jesus working through these people. And that's just, again, one of those profound, like, sometimes you need some people to help reinforce, like, this is Jesus doing this.
Right.
And then the people to do Jesus' work.
Yeah, that's a good story.
Well, thank you guys both for coming today. Dan, you're doing next week, yeah?
Yes, that's the plan.
Do you have a little bit of a sneak peek potentially for us? Or
sure, yeah. We are going to be continuing our food series in 1 Kings 19. Okay. This is Elijah. And Elijah in this story is really depressed. He just is coming down from Mount Carmel, which seems like a great victory. God shows himself very powerfully there, and yet not a lot of change has happened. And he's being threatened by Jezebel, so he's kind of fleeing the country. And he's about done. And in fact, he tells the Lord that. And yet the Lord comes to him and he provides some food. We'll probably call this sermon Angel Food Cake, because the angel comes with some cakes for Elijah there and sustains him for the journey ahead, for the ministry. And so there'll be some thought there about, obviously, how food, we need that every day to kind of make the journey of the day, and we need that strength, and how God provides that, of course. But then maybe a further thought of, why is God strengthening us? You know, what's that? You mentioned it even with calling in life. But what does he give us that strength for? What might that look like? Elijah had some very specific purpose, and he's going to get those directions very specifically in that chapter. But yeah, what is that for me, and what's that for any of us, you know? And there's a food connection there, that the strength we're given, what's the mission God calls us to. So anyways, that's at least on Monday where I think I'm going.
Awesome.
That's recorded now, Dan.
Yeah, it's all over.
Committed.
So
I know. Set in stone, right? Yeah. Oh, man. Awesome. Well, very much looking forward to it. Thank you guys both again for coming on and giving your wisdom and your perspective and your insight.
Thanks to you, Austin.
Very grateful for this. Austin. And we're looking forward to next week. Mm-hmm.